Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light it sheds into our lives. May it illuminate our hearts today. Amen. Last week, we introduced the idea of journeying through the wilderness with Jesus for Lent. The idea of worship in the wilderness. A wilderness, a wild, uncultivated, inhospitable, neglected, abandoned area. Our lives are often full on, full of activity, full of people, things, noise, chatter, very little peace. Our lives are the opposite of a wilderness, but our hearts can be desolate, carrying despair. We can live lives of no hope, full of doubts, full of fears. We can carry our own personal wilderness with us, wherever we are. We just heard read the story of Jesus in the wilderness, tempted, setting his mission in the context of the continuing story, the continuing faith story of God's chosen people. We're prompted to think about how wilderness worship might look different to other kinds of worship we've experienced. Sometimes here, our worship involves singing songs, singing hymns, using guitars or choirs or organs. Some worship includes prayers that have many words. Some worship requires lots of technology or props or people to make it happen. But that's not wilderness worship. Wilderness worship is different to all of that. This week we're looking at three aspects of the wilderness worship that Jesus engaged in. Firstly, solitude. One of the first things we notice about Jesus is he walked away from crowds, often spent time alone. In the passage we had read, he spends 40 days and 40 nights in a lonely place. Luke also tells of another time when the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We might have different responses to the idea of solitude. Some of us will be very scared of spending time alone. We know that we're extroverts who enjoy people's company and feed off the affirmation of friends, families and co-workers. Others will think this is a great idea. Finally, a bit of privacy, a bit of peace. Me, I hate the concept of solitude. Whenever we do personality tests, I'm 100% dyed-in-the-wool, full-on extrovert. This doesn't just mean that I'm a talker, a show-off, and I love the centre stage. It's pretty true that, I suppose. There's no hope for me at all. I'm a middle child, extrovert. No wonder I'm always talking. But sometimes solitude is forced on me. Sometimes, despite myself, I need to find time alone. And it's not a recharge time. I fill my batteries just by being with people. It's a necessary time. Not a reset time, but a helpful time. During COVID and before the knee, I was a walker. I used to go up to Lyme Park along the inclines around the pool, walking on my own, but never in solitude. Always with a book or music in my ears. But every now and again, just for a moment, I put everything down, sat on a log or a bench, and just looked at the glory that is around. Felt that solitude, but not aloneness, because I was in the presence of God. Henry Nouwen, in a book about the Desert Fathers and Mothers, a group of Christians from the 4th and 5th century who revived the idea of desert spirituality at a time when the church was becoming increasingly institutionalised. He warns us against seeing solitude simply as a quiet place to recharge and then go on with life as usual. He writes, "Solitude is not a private, therapeutic place. Rather, it's a place of conversion. A place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding, no friends to talk to, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract. We enter into solitude first of all to meet our Lord and to be with him and him alone. This is a solitude I struggle with. Purposeful, deliberate time out from everything to look, listen, and experience the presence of God. And it's a solitude we all need to make time for. Like I said, according to the Myers-Briggs, I'm an extrovert, happiest with people around me. Not necessarily talking, just being part of a crowd is enough. But the other side of that is that I struggle to be alone with just my thoughts and God. So my Lent challenge, for me, starting today, is to spend time every day, even 5 or 10 minutes, alone, in quiet, with no stimulation, and silently wait for God. Wait in God. Listen to his voice. To be more Christ-like in this intention. Because the main reason Jesus sought solitude was to be with his Heavenly Father. So how can we, today, this week, choose to cut into our busy schedules and demanding relationships to make time to be with our Heavenly Father? And can we see that time alone as a place of transformation, where we are changed to relate to the world, to others, to church, to friends, to family, to Jesus in a new and deeper way? Second thing we notice about Jesus is simplicity, how he rejects unnecessary baggage. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me that I can give it to anyone I want to. Jesus knows it's so easy to gain the world, yet lose your soul. So he rebukes the devil. How many of the advertisements that surround us every day are about gaining the world or achieving more authority and splendor? How often are we tempted to buy yet more clothes or upgrade to a better gadget or invest in a better car? Every 25 seconds, if you're anything like me. I'm getting a little better. I'm quite content at driving my very tiny, old, little red car around. Had to have a new battery this week, bless it. I no longer crave a Ferrari. But there are times when a car that goes a little faster, has a bigger boot, or a better heater would be very welcome. The adverts we see everywhere affect us. We desire more, newer, different things. The constant drip is insidious. We need to consciously resist and be more like Jesus, more Jesus-like in the way we live and consume. Jesus was a homeless man. In Luke 9, Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." His only possession seemed to be the clothes he was in. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them. When he sends out the 72 in Luke chapter 10, he tells them, "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals." It's not wrong for us to have homes or clothes or other possessions. But Jesus' example should cause us to question whether we need quite as many things as the adverts tell us we do. Wilderness worship might ask us to consider whether we rely too much on things, even good things, instead of trusting in God. Maybe walking away from our warm homes, taking a prayer walk through the woods, on the streets of Poynton, might help you see God afresh. Perhaps putting your phone away for a day might give you a new perspective on life and faith. Maybe turning off the music and the radio, sitting silently in God's presence, might be a form of simple wilderness worship that restores your soul more than you realize. Thirdly, fasting. This is one of the most obvious things about Jesus' time in the wilderness. He fasted from food. It says he fasted for 40 days and was hungry. I get hungry if I fast for 40 minutes. So, the first temptation attacks this directly. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." The devil doesn't say, "You must be hungry," even though we know Jesus is feeling the effects of his 40-day fast. He goes to the real heart of the matter. If you are the Son of God, fasting is not about showing people how spiritual we are or guilting God into answering our prayers. It comes down to the basis of our identity. Who are we? Or more importantly, whose are we? It reminds us that more than food, our lives are sustained by the Word of God, by Jesus, the Word spoken to create us and in whom all things hold together. So Jesus responds in the words from Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Literal fasting from food continued through the time of Jesus into the early church. Jesus talked about fasting. Matthew 9, he says, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? There will come a time when the bridegroom is taken from them. Then they will fast." The new believers in the early church fasted. While they were worshipping and the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed on their hands on them and sent them off. It may be during this Lent you choose to give up some foods or meal times to spend time that would have been normally spent cooking, eating and cleaning up in prayer with God. One Lent I managed to give up 2 lunches a week. It helped me feel closer to God, spending that time, purposed time, costly time with him. But there are other types of fasts we can do. Isaiah 58, chapter 6, verse 6, talks about a fast where people choose to put injustice right. "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." 1 Corinthians 7 describes a fast where couples refrain from intimacy for a time to focus on praying. These two things show there's other ways we can fast, other things we can fast from than just food. Perhaps the question is, what will be the thing that you most rely on? What are you in danger of getting your identity from instead of God? Social media account, the kind of clothes you wear, eating at particular restaurants. Could you fast in a positive way, like in Isaiah, by helping a homeless person, befriending a lonely person at work or school, or standing up for a mistreated person at work? So, 3 aspects of worship in the wilderness: solitude, simplicity, fasting. 3 challenges for our wilderness worship this Lent. Make time to be alone with God. Put your phone or TV or radio away for a whole day. Fast. Give up one meal to spend the time in prayer, or fast social media, or have a positive fast to volunteer to offer help to someone in need. 3 ways to be more like Jesus this Lent. And don't worry that Lent's already starting, we're a few days in. Still plenty of time to start. My challenge to me, myself, to each of us: use this Lent, use time at this Lent, to spend time in wilderness worship, solitude, simplicity or fasting. But whatever we do, may it be intentional, transformational, and centered on Jesus.